There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Special. I am your host, Thor Nystrom. Today, I am joined by another very special guest, Ray Garvin, to discuss this year's wide receiver class. You can find Ray's work at Destination Debbie, Bleacher Report, and the Draft Network. Ray, are you ready to talk about some wide receivers?
Man, come on, man. You don't got to ask the question. Thor, it's you, it's me, it's wide receivers, it's the draft. Let's do it, baby.
Let's do this. So we're going to jump right in with our top fives. And Ray, I want to start with your wide receiver five, and then we'll work down and we'll sort of mix and match with our each of our lists. So why don't you kick us off with your wide receiver five?
All right, coming in hot at wide receiver. And I'm just going to tell you, Thor, you are very special because I still am using some information to formulate rankings, right? Final rankings after we know draft capital and landing spot. But right now, coming in for me at five, Thor, maybe a surprise to some, but Oklahoma wide receiver Marvin Mims is my wide receiver five. Just think he's a fantastic wide receiver, a little under the radar. When you lose Caleb Williams and you have the type of season that Oklahoma had this year, it's easy to gloss past that team. But this is a receiver that people do not need to gloss over. I think that his stock is going to continue to rise. I'm interested to see what he, if he will do anything at Oklahoma's pro day. But I just think he's a savvy pro receiver. Is he? Does he have elite type upside? No, I don't believe that to be the case, but I do think he's a plug and play, at least from day one, being optimistic, a team's third wide receiver option that can develop into a very competent number two.
I like that, Ray. Yeah, you know, Oklahoma receivers that have come into the league, you know, in the earlier time of the Lincoln Riley era there, a lot of them were in advantageous situations. Marvin Mims really was not. You know, Lincoln Riley, his last year there, he had one foot out the door, right? And so that thing sort of devolved. And then, as you know, Spencer Rattler, his career started to go down a bit there at the end. Then, you know, Caleb Williams comes in. So you had the weird continuity thing there. And then, of course, Lincoln Riley leaves for USC. The whole thing gets blown up. They bring in Brett Venables. Oklahoma was a joke last year.
Yeah.
Like that was actually a legitimately hard situation for a receiver to sort of show his skill set or whatever. And Dillon Gabriel didn't play the entire season. He got nicked up a little bit as well. Marvin Mims, a guy that has won at all three levels of the field. Weird sort of player, you know, being slender and everything like that. But I love that he went out at the NFL Combine. He's already put up a 91st percentile size adjusted athletic score. That sort of answers your other questions about the athleticism. So I love that one, Ray. My wide receiver five is Josh Downs. What Josh Downs is not is an outside receiver, right? Like, you just have to know what he is. He is a true slot guy, but a super duper productive one. 195 catches the past 2 years, way over 2,000 yards, different stuff like that. He wins with movement, not only quickness off the line, but he has 4.4 speed and super duper agile. He also knows what he's doing as a route runner. I like that he sets up defensive backs, and then he alters his tempo, and then his feet are so good. You know, he's like a chef with the cuts, the super duper quick cuts. And the other thing that I'll say about him that sort of sneaks up on you is some of these slots, and we're, well, more than even the slots, we're going to talk about a couple guys here, I think in a little bit, that aren't as good in contested situations. So they have to slip you, or they're in trouble. If the guy comes to the catch point, that, you know, that they're not as successful in that situation. Josh Downs is way better at that than you would think. Like last season, Josh Downs, 72.2% contested catch rate, number two in this class. He had 18 contested targets. He caught 13 of them. It's something that you wouldn't associate with a receiver who's who checked in at 5'9", 179 or whatever at the NFL Combine. Again, you got to know what the guy is. He's going to get jammed off the line if you have him in a disadvantageous spot with a bigger corner there. But in the slot, a lot of times he's going to get those free releases. And once there, that's where he becomes a puzzle for these defensive backs, because not only does he have those feet, not only does he alter the tempo, but then once he gets in space, he's going to make a play on the ball.
Yeah, I like Josh Downs a lot, man. And one of the things that you mentioned is his tempo. I think he plays with tremendous pace. He's one of the better receivers in this class. It just, we always talk about an ability to accelerate, Thor. I think the ability to decelerate is equally as important, right? And he is very good at switching up his tempo. I like that one, man.
1,000%. I love what you said there, Ray. That's something the NFL cares a lot about, or talks a lot about more than, for instance, draft Twitter. It's a reason why when you see the things like the zebra tracking at the Senior Bowl, or different the advanced stuff that the NFL is looking at, they don't only track the acceleration of these guys, they also track the top end deceleration of these guys, because that's a super duper important athletic trait. Love that you brought that up. Ray and I had different wide receiver fives. We happen to have the same wide receiver four. So why don't you kick us off our discussion of Jordan?
Really? All right. Jordan Addison. Yeah, Jordan Addison. This is a player, Thor, I was much, much higher on coming into the season. Big Jordan Addison fan, transferring from Pitt. I think he's a quality receiver. I think he's a good receiver. What I'm trying to do this year is manage expectations, right? And I don't want people to have, these lofty expectations for these guys to come in and be Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson at the next level. What Addison is he's a technician. He's a very savvy route runner. I think he's very disciplined in how he runs his routes. I think he's very deliberate and intentional in how he runs his routes. Sometimes if you get hands on him, you could see it littered across the tape from Oregon State to Utah to any of the teams that he played. When you've got a big physical corner like Rajon Wright, who's 6'2", almost 200 pounds from Oregon State, you'd press him at the line of scrimmage, and you almost would see Addison fighting and getting ready to battle, and he ends up on the ground. I think he plays a little faster than that 4.5 speed that he tested at the combine. I think he's got adequate hands. I think he's going to provide a lot of value for an NFL franchise and for us for fantasy. I think he could develop into, I'd say, a good number two. I'm not going to go high end number two wide receiver, but I think he can be a quality two at the next level. I love his game, love the player, big USC Trojans fan. But I just, what I wanted from Addison, Thor, is I wanted to see him level up a little bit, right? I wanted to see him take a big step forward at USC with Caleb Williams. And I know he was injured some, but I just didn't see him level up in 2022. So still comfortably inside my top five, but I got him fourth.
I love how you set that up. You know, coming into the year, like you said, people were looking at him as this guy's going to be a star NFL receiver. And if that's what your expectation of is of Jordan Addison, I think that's where you become disappointed. But if you look at him as a guy that's going to be a strong number two, who's going to eat against one-on-one coverage, I think that's where, you know, that's what his import is. He's a guy, like you mentioned, he succeeded both at Pitt and USC. A little bit down this past season. I totally agree with you, Ray. I had a bit higher expectation for him. Obviously, he got nicked up. That was a part of it. But I think of him, he's sort of like a quarterback's best friend type guy, because he gets open so often and he provides you that window, like you mentioned, with the movement. He's just this silky smooth route runner guy. But, you know, like I was talking about how Downs, he's better in contested situations than you think. Jordan Addison is not good in those situations. So he has to shake you. But you have to say for him, he shakes people a lot. It's both the footwork, the move, the movement, the acceleration. But also, he's, I mean, Jordan Addison might be the most advanced sort of route runner from the mental aspect of it in this class. You'll see on tape, like early in the game, he'll run this route, right? And then, you know, whatever. And then later in the game, he'll start the route the exact same way. And then he'll break off the other way if he's against, you know, the same guy or whatever. He introduces these looks to these defensive backs, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember this. I remember this from the first quarter. And then they'll try to jump the route or whatever. And Jordan Addison's like, And then all of a sudden he's going the other way and he's by himself. He does stuff like that. But when the cornerback's there with him at the catch point, that's where he really struggles. An example of this, Ray, you brought up the example from Oregon State where he's getting mugged by the bigger corner with the long pterodactyl length and right. Another type of guy that sometimes Addison can struggle with, it's the smaller, stickier guys that do not get shaken by him. The Utah game against Clark Phillips, Jordan Addison could not get Clark Phillips out of his back pocket, and he was getting real frustrated by it. So again, you know, if he's the wide receiver two on an NFL offense, he doesn't have to put up with the double teams. I think that's where, you know, you get the utility out of him. He's just not an NFL star.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we still like the player, though. I still like the player, Thor, but I'm not seeing star with Addison.
Nor am I. Now let's jump to our wide receiver. We did not share these lists. We did share the list in advance, but we did not compare notes on what our top five was going to be. Just so happened to have the same wide receiver three as well. Ray, tell the people who that is.
This is and let me preface it by saying I don't think that this wide receiver three is as technically advanced as Jordan Addison, who's at four, but I can see the upside in this player. And when we're doing this, you have to project a little bit, but Zay Flowers out of Boston College is my wide receiver three in this class. And you watch him and he plays bigger than he's listed. He's good just about everywhere. A lot of people will peg him in as just a slot guy, but I don't believe he's just a slot. Do I think he's an X? Probably not, but can he play opposite in X and be an outside receiver in 12 personnel? I do believe Zay Flowers has the potential to do that. Now, I do think there are some areas of his game in which he needs to clean up, but it's nothing that can't be improved upon with adequate coaching and a good mentor across from him. I see a lot of Antonio Brown, and I don't want to go that high. Yeah, Antonio Brown, for everything that he is off the field, on the field, he's one of the top five receivers to ever play the game. But can he be sort of like a Tyler Lockett for an NFL offense? Can he be a guy that can be deployed in multiple ways? I mean, you're seeing, Hall of Fame level caliber NFL players say this dude is the truth. He's put together very well. I like his body composition. He competes almost every rep. I want him to play with a little more control, a little more patience, but I see upside, quite high upside with Zay Flowers. You know, we talked about Addison being a good, solid wide receiver too. I don't think Zay Flowers is a one in the next level, but I think he could be a high-end asset as a wide receiver two for an NFL franchise. He's my wide receiver three.
I totally agree with that, and I love the way that you set that up. People just look at his size, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's a slot receiver. Well, no, he's really not, actually. At Boston College, he played almost 66% of his snaps out wide, and he wanted all three sectors of the field out wide. And it's like, oh, well, you know, that's just Boston College. No, actually, you have to give him way the huge benefit of the doubt for the situation he was in. Last year, Boston College had one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen at the Power 5 level. At the end of the season, they only had one offensive line that remained in the spot that he started at. They were starting two offensive linemen that were converted defensive linemen. One of the kids was a walk-on. Like, it wasn't going to be a good offensive line anyway, and then they suffered this rash of injuries. Then Boston College's quarterback, Jerkovic, he gets injured. So then you have this no-talent kid with a noodle arm, Dennis Grossel, that comes in, and then nobody's afraid of their running game. This Pat Garwell guy, he was averaging like 3 or less yards per carry. So Zay Flowers was literally the only guy they had. He was a marked man. And then they had a quarterback that was under duress right away who couldn't get the ball down the field anyway. That's the context that you have to bake in with Zay Flowers, where we have seen him win down the field and in the deeper parts of the intermediate area as well, and in very diverse ways. For his size, for Zay Flowers' size, here's the unique thing about him. When he goes down the field, he is very, very good at tracking the ball, and he can catch the ball in very cramped quarters, down there. You also get that other cool utility of, you know, dumping it off to him short, manufacturing the touches, him screaming across the field, you hit him on the hands, that sort of stuff. You mentioned, you know, a couple different comps that people have tossed out. Eric Galko, the guy from the Shrine game that brought him into the Shrine game, was a huge surprise to people that Galko was able to get Flowers down there. He compares Flowers to Jalen Waddle. Now, I can't get quite that high with it, but if you knocked off like, you know, 4% or so, and that 4%, it's athleticism, right? Like, because like Flowers, he tested pretty well. 4.42.
Yeah, it tested well.
Yeah, you know, like he was 91st percentile on the 40. He was almost 91st percentile on the 10-yard split. His broad jump was almost 90th percentile. He hasn't done the agility drills yet, but Ray, I don't think we need to see him do the agility test. Yeah,
they're good. They're good.
His movement is absolutely ridiculous. So if you think about him as, I don't want to say poor man's Waddle, I just like a slight discount in terms of Waddle with just a little bit of that athleticism shaved off, because Jalen Waddle's an absolutely stupid athlete. That's to me what Flowers is. And again, like you mentioned, not confined to the slot, and he's also not confined to manufactured touches. What one of these BS comps that I've seen on, I shouldn't say that because then I'll be shooting strays in a certain way, but I've seen him started to get comped to Kadarius Toney. It's like, no. Kadarius Toney could not run routes when he was at Florida, and all of his touches were manufactured. He was essentially just a glorified running back where his touches started. Instead of it being a handoff, you just, you know, quickly threw it to him down the line or whatever from out of the slot. That's not what you do with Flowers. The similar thing is their movement once they have the ball and they're hurtling downfield second and third level. That part of it is similar. But Flowers wins with his routes, with his movement down the field, and he can reel the ball in down the field. Kadarius Toney could never do that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And you touched on his ball tracking ability. It's incredible. It's incredible. And I think I'm with you. I wouldn't go as far as Waddle, because what I will say is I think Zay Flowers is more developed at playing wide receiver coming out than Waddle was. But Waddle was such a ridiculous athlete that whatever deficiencies he may have had coming out as a receiver, they're masked because he's just so much better of an athlete than anybody else. He's faster. He's got acceleration. I'm with you. I wouldn't go that far, but you shave off, you know, 5% of Waddle, you probably have that in Zay Flowers.
So Zay Flowers, each of our wide receiver three, both Ray and I really like him. Ray, let's move to your wide receiver two. You and I have a bit of a difference here now at the top of the board.
Yep. For my wide receiver two, I've got Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver out of TCU. I tweeted this out after his measurables came in, Thor. When he came in at 6'2", 208 pounds, for me, it made more sense as to why, when I'm looking at his advanced metrics and missed tackles, fours, yards after catch, because I'd watch him and be like, how does he do this at 6'4", 215 pounds? So to see him come in at 6'2", 208, in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, he's a little shorter than listed, but I don't care. I think Quentin Johnston is... And it's interesting to see the negativity around him right now. It feels like every week he's just getting knocked down boards. Quentin Johnston getting knocked down. The biggest issue with QJ, and it has nothing to do with the tape, nothing to do with the data. Fantasy gamers are going to have a very difficult time, Thor, shaking off the stink and the stain of Josh Doctson and Jalen Reagor. And I know that sounds lazy. I know that sounds very just, well, don't scout the helmet, scout the play. People are still looking at it and saying, do I really want to be burned again by another TCU wide receiver? And I will just say, as one of the people who really, and it's learning, Thor, you go back and watch Reagor, you talk about Kadarius Toney, manufactured touches, hindsight is 2020, but that's all Reagor did. He's a good athlete. He is a good athlete, but wasn't a good wide receiver. He's very good. Just get him the ball, let him run around. You can't out-athlete people like that in the NFL. And I've learned another lesson with that with Rondale Moore, who I love. I still love Rondale Moore, but he can't out-athlete NFL defenses. Quentin Johnston wins in such different ways, right? Josh Doctson was great down the field. He was a contested catch god. But Quentin Johnston can do everything, intermediate, short, and deep. I think the only glaring knock, which... Thor, I don't even know how much of this I want to, like, just catch the damn ball. You know what I mean? There are times where it hits him right in his hands, and you're like, come on, QJ, pull that in. But I think in the right system, I'm seeing him mocked to Minnesota at 23. And I don't know if that's what the Vikings need or not. But you put him opposite a guy like Justin Jefferson, that entire offense gets better. Hockenson gets better. Quentin Johnson does his job. And Justin Jefferson thrives even more. I think this is a good player, Thor.
He's a very good player, and keeping him in purple, going up north to, and playing for the Vikings, that would be a fabulous fit. You know, you lose Thielen. You didn't lose Thielen. You chose to kick Thielen out the door. And the reason why is Thielen couldn't beat the single coverage he got, you know, the man single coverage, all season long, because the defenses could just at will double and or bracket and or double Justin Jefferson the entire game. After Jefferson lit up the Packers in that opening Monday night game or whatever, the rest of the NFL is like, we're not letting Justin Jefferson do that. So the rest of the season, you got either bracketed or doubled. And then on the other side, you got the guy who's in single coverage. Thielen just couldn't consistently beat it anymore. And we love Thielen here. Obviously, Thielen is a local kid and whatever. You know, you wish him well in Carolina. But his athleticism is depreciated to the point where he just can't beat people in those situations anymore. What you need is a guy on the other side that can take advantage of being single covered every single time. And it's really hard to keep another deep safety on the other side when you're already doing that with Jefferson, because now you're going to thin out the entire box, right? Like it's going to become also a spacing issue and an intermediate issue, which is how, you know, a guy like TJ Hockenson could get even more space. Quentin Johnston, what's his special sauce? It's winning down the field, right? Like you mentioned, he comes in, you know, a shade under 6'3", so 6'2", and 6'8", 208 pounds. And he's a freaky athlete. Like the side-to-side stuff, no, we'll talk about that in a second. But the explosion is ridiculous off of the line. And he proved that with the test he did do at the NFL Combine, that the jumps were both 90-something percent, like way up there in the 90 percentiles. And then he has deferred the 40 to TCU's pro day. I'm not concerned about Quentin Johnston's 40. It seems like some people are.
I don't care, like, Thor. I don't care at all. I don't care, Blick. I don't care. It's fast.
Johnston was a track star in high school. Like, we see the track stars over and over again go and lick the 40. A way smaller example of this, where people were saying Evan Hall was going to run in the 4.6s. I'm like, guys, he was running faster than the 4.6s in high school in Minnesota, because he grew up like right next to me over here. It's like, that kid was a track star. Like, come on, just do your research. Quentin Johnston is he's not going to run in, like, you know, in the high 4.5s or like some of this apocryphal stuff, especially when you know that you know his track background and the explosion down the field. And Ray, this sort of goes to some of what you were starting to talk about there, where on his best reps, it's like, oh my God, like we got something here, because he's so difficult to stay with, both that explosion off the line and then the deep speed. And then with his upper body strength, it's really difficult to jar the guy. So he can, not only can he run faster than you, accelerate faster than you, when he gets down the field, he's also bigger than you, and he has long arms. I believe he had the fifth longest arm length of the 50 receivers that were in the combine. And then he jumps over 40 inches in the vertical. So, there's very few human beings that can even just stay with him. But then you have to cut that list down even further of ones that can get in the air up there with him to high point the ball. When he does that, he is so difficult. You just throw him the lollipops when he's in single coverage. Really, really difficult. But you mentioned the concentration thing. I noticed that with Quentin Johnston. And it's something where it's more of a thought experiment. And this becomes almost more about the evaluator than it does the player. Of, you would see other times where, like, you know, again, you see the awesome reps where he skies up and he high points the ball and it's like, oh my God. And then, you know, and then he might even break an arm tackle and then he's running into the end zone, whatever. But then you'd see the other ones where, like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. And Dugan would toss up the deep ball or whatever. And Johnston would like sort of recognize it late. And instead of like positioning his body in the same way, he'd let the ball descend way too far. And he'd like sort of fight it in. And then all of a sudden he's either, you know, he's fighting it one way or the other, whether it's underhand or whether it's like, you know, sort of short arming the ball or whatever. He, you know, Max Dugan put him, Quentin Johnston, into bad spots that I think created more contested situations than needed to be. But you have to say, on the other side, Quentin Johnston did that to himself too. Like, you know, some of these times he could have just gone up and gotten the ball and it would have been over. But like Quentin Johnston, his drop rate elevated a bit this year. And well, you know, I think over his career, it was like 10, which is right around the scary area, whatever. And this is what explains it. It's when he's doing what he's supposed to do, it's really, really difficult to defend him, especially in that sector of the field. But when he's not, he allows the defensive backs both back into the play back there, but he also gives them the both to make a play on the ball just outright, but also he gives them the shot to come in really late and rake that ball out of his hands. Because again, the ball is just, I mean, just think about it in your head. It's just traveling more through the air when it's just totally unnecessary, because he could have, you know, jumped up and got the ball like way, way high up in the air. That thing I'm like is a little bit concerning. You wonder if that, again, like you mentioned, is that just a concentration thing? Is that something that could be coached out of him when NFL coaches are hounding him about it? Or is it endemic? The last thing that I wanted to say about Johnson is he is not an agile guy. And it would not surprise me if he ducks the agility drills at his pro day like he did the NFL Combine. Where he wins, it's the speed, well, the explosion leading into the speed. I mean, he blows off the line. Then he's at top speed really, really quickly. It's hard to jar him, like I said, because of that upper body strength. And yes, you don't have the agility, but we've seen guys that have succeeded wildly without it, right? DK Metcalf being a recent example. Where Johnston gets the separation, it's again with the acceleration plus the speed plus the upper body stuff. And he can also win over the middle of the field. It's not just the downfield utility, especially you saw this in the Big 12. Cornerbacks would have to start playing off of him, and they're already sitting back on their heels. Because it's like a hitter who's choking up on the bat way back in the batter's box because they know the pitcher can throw 100 miles an hour or whatever. That's when Quentin Johnson could just jut inside, go across the middle. The acceleration, the speed plays just the same there. And then Max Duggan could hit him on the hands. Max Duggan left a lot of yards on the field for Quentin Johnson the last couple of years, a lot of unrealized yards. I think when Johnson goes to the NFL and he's playing with an accurate quarterback, they can go through the progressions really quickly. I think his game is going to go up. For me right now, he is wide receiver one. The gap has closed a bit at, you know, with the guy that we're going to talk about in a second, but we're waiting on the pro day stuff, but I still have Quentin Johnson wide receiver one. Ray, why don't you talk about your wide receiver one, who is my wide receiver two?
Yeah, it's Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's my guy. You know, he's an interesting player because the biggest knock on him was his straight line speed, which I think is still an issue. I mean, you turn on the Penn State game and you'll see it, right? He's not, you turn on the Utah game. I mean, he got walked down and fumble and it was a turnover because he doesn't have pull away speed. I think he is such a crafty, deliberate route runner. Thor, I got to see him in person with the Draft Network. He's put together. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. He can play inside. I think he can play outside in situations. I just don't, here's my thing. Let him do what he does well. I don't need him to be an X. I don't need him to be, let him dominate the slot. And I don't want to throw this comparison out there haphazardly, but I think he could be, in the right system, have a Cooper Kupp-like impact. That doesn't mean he's going to have a Cooper Kupp season where he has almost 2,000 receiving yards, but I think he can have that type of impact from the inside. He's physical in the running game. You watch any Ohio State game where Trevion Henderson's ripping off long runs and Jackson Smith and Jigba's got his butt out there and he's blocking. I think he is very good with his short area movements, and we saw that in the agility drills. Like, anybody that thought he wasn't shifty, you're insane. And Thor, I may be a little biased. This kid played literally 15 minutes down the road from me at Rockwall High here in Texas. So I've got to watch him throughout high school. And the same thing he did in high school, he wasn't fast in high school, straight line speed. He wasn't fast. He was quick. He was physical. He's got sure hands. And I think he's going to be a very, very solid NFL professional wide receiver. With, does he have the type of upside that Quentin Johnston has if QJ realizes every ounce of that, or if he hits 90% of that? No, but I think his floor is doggone high, Thor. I can't see a world in which JSN goes to the NFL and fails. I think he's that solid, safe, and probably consistent of a wide receiver as we have in this class.
That's very well said. Yeah. I mean, the only thing he lacks, it's the speed, but all the other stuff he has, like you said, he proved the concept of the shiftiness and the agility at the NFL Combine. He probably didn't really need to, because on film that stuff speaks for itself. When he gets the spacing in the intermediate area, he dominates with it. He's an efficiency monster. because he's come, he catches the ball. He's got good ball skills, but he also is invariably open because he creates those little windows by shaking people out of their shoes. You know, he's a clever route runner too, in addition to having sort of that next level movement. The only thing he lacks, it's the high end speed. It's one of the reasons why he's probably going to be relegated to the slot at the next level as well. You see this over and over again on tape where his movement is so good. He would find himself in these openings where he's running like on a bridge down the field, right? But then he would always get caught from behind. It happened over and over again. It's going to happen at the NFL level too. You'd love to see him in a situation where you have the, you know, at least one good receiver next to him, just to give him more spacing in the intermediate area. The more spacing he has, the more damage he's going to do. It just is what it is. Ray, before we get to the rest of the receivers and dive a little bit deeper in the class, there's something I wanted to bring up quick to the audience. Our Fantasy Pros Fantasy News and Scores app is awesome. It helps you stay on top of all the latest free agent signings and trades. It's available on both the App Store and Google Play, so you should definitely download it today. Ray, I wanted to finish strong by diving just a little bit deeper into the receiver class for the folks. So let's go here first. Who is your favorite sleeper wide receiver in this class?
All right, Thor, this is a player that I got to see at the Senior Bowl and was just so impressed by him. He did so good, he didn't even need to do a whole bunch there. He left after, I think, 2 days. But Puka Nacua out of Nevada. And this is a player who leads this class, according to PFF, in yards per route run. He's got a 90.2 man zone coverage grade for him. He's got a 75 man grade. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. Puka Nacua, a lot of people, Thor, have said Puka Nacua helped propel Zach Wilson and help make Zach Wilson. I mean, this is a player with sticky hands. I think he could be deployed either inside or outside, probably not at your X, but as your Z or your slot. This is a player that I think we're going to look up 3 years from now and be like, who the hell was that Puka Nacua and why were we sleeping on this player? I think he's a really good wide receiver that not enough people are talking about. That's just going to be a solid pro. Nice complimentary guy. You brought up an Adam Thielen. Listen, Adam Thielen, his bar is up here. I mean, from where he started to what he got to get to. But I think you could see Puka Nacua take a similar role, playing on some special teams, getting integrated into an offense, and ends up becoming a very solid number two option for an NFL team. Puka Nacua, don't sleep on him.
I love that. And he plays so hard, and his skill set is way more versatile than people give him credit for. The guys like that you can see the teams where they're trying to get him the touches as many times as possible. It was so funny last season. BYU's playing USF South Florida. Puka Nacua, they give him two end arounds, and he takes the first two for touchdowns in the first quarter. And then BYU tried to get cute and gave him a third one. And then USF, who had this terrible defense, they were like, okay, now you're not going to fool us the third time. And so then they all swarmed on Puka Nacua, and then Puka Nacua got hurt. And that's the one question with Puka Nacua. It's the durability. But a lot of times they were forcing all these different touches to him. And he plays so hard. He plays with his hair on fire. So sometimes that's something that's going to crop up. Hopefully the NFL can watch that and monitor for that. But I love that call. I'm a big fan of Puka Nacua's game. The guy I'm going to bring up for my favorite sleeper, another guy, Ray, that we were watching in Mobile, Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson, I love that kid's game at Stanford when he was on the field. He comes in, he's a high four-star recruit. Stanford loved to, you know, they beat out numerous different teams for that kid's services. And when he was on the field, he got on the field immediately. When he was on the field, he always flashed. But that was on again, off again. I think the last three seasons combined, he only played in 14 games, right? And a lot of times it was just these nagging injuries, but it'd be the kind of thing he would have like two awesome games and have like 8 or 9 catches, whatever. Then he'd be off the field for a couple games. Then he'd have to come back, work his way back up or whatever. But you want to talk about a guy that you're going to be able to get a little bit later on. But we'll see if he's even going to be available day three. I mean, he's moving up
we'll
now.
See. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he's selected late day two. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, especially after his combine performance, comes in with the 93rd percentile size-adjusted athletic score. But you want to talk about a guy where you have the size, almost 6'2", 216. The strength, the movement, the body control down the field is what really impresses me about him. I don't want to Chris Carter's the guy I always think about body control when we're around the sideline, stuff like that. Definitely not in that phylum, but like it sticks out when a college receiver is really good with the body control, knows where he is, and then is also also able to sort of keep himself, you know, whatever. Michael Wilson, I think about him. And then the hands as well. His speed sneaks up on defensive backs. He don't look like a fast guy, but he's one of those long striders that chews up more real estate than you would think. And he's a guy that plays really hard, including on the blocking reps. That's something that we saw in Mobile. So he is my sleeper. Ray, the last one for the people today. We've been so nice. You know, we did our top fives. We did our favorite sleeper. We got to shoot some strays out the door. We have to. So who is one wide receiver that you think is getting way more hype than his game deserves right now?
Listen, this is a player who was my preseason wide receiver one coming into the season. I was so excited to watch him work this year. And I still see analysts have him in the second and third round of mocks. And I'm just like, I like him. But Kayshon Boutte is, this is, you're living in Debbie land of 2 years ago, right? I don't care about what he did in limited sample size as a freshman, right? And it's sophomore season started off good. We still don't have true clarity as to what that injury was. Was it his ankle? Was it an Achilles? I don't know really what happened, but whatever it was, it had to have zapped some of his superpower, Thor, because this is not the same type of guy that I was looking at to start off his LSU career. He comes into the combine, and to be honest with you, he showed up and he looked like he didn't even try. You go out there and you have a 29-inch vertical jump, it's unacceptable. That is unacceptable for an athlete that was sub, 21 seconds in the 200 in high school, 20 seconds, something ridiculous like that for a player who people were almost trying to put in that range of was on path to break Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson's records at LSU, and you're still mocking him in the second and third round? Get out of here. I like Kate. This is not Ray's anti-Boutte. There's no way on the face of the planet that I'd be taking him right now over some of these other prospects in this class, a Mims, a Wilson. I don't get it, Thor. He didn't get better. We talked about, we didn't see Jordan Addison level up. Kayshon Boutte was thoroughly outplayed by Malik Nabers this year at LSU. And I don't want to hear about Jaden Daniels because it didn't stop Malik Nabers from having a 1,000-yard season. So I don't want to hear about Daniels and the quarterback and Kelly. If you're that guy, go out there and be that guy. I'm just very disappointed in Kayshon Boutte, man.
1,000%. You said it. The guy's beneath 6 feet. He's beneath 200 pounds. He goes to the combine, 47th percentile athlete. You mentioned his fifth percentile vertical. It's like, what's going on there? And then he's coming off the season where he was checked out the entire time. We were making all the jokes on Twitter during the Florida State game on that Monday night, the opener, of like, you could see on the sideline, Kayshon Boutte looks so checked out. It's like, this kid's going to transfer. And then there was all the rumors in the next couple of days, he's going to transfer. But then he you know, sticks it out, I guess, to his credit, but the rest of the season he was checked out too. And it's like, what, you know, like, what kind of weird Benjamin Button career are we having here? And then during the season, like, it wasn't just he wasn't creating the separation we saw earlier in the career, also a ridiculously elevated drop rate, 12.7 drop rate last year on only 9.7 A dot. So you have one of the most elevated drop rates in the class on one of the lowest A dots in the class. He stunk last year. He also no effort in blocking. You have to go back years to where it's like you're picking out good Kayshon Boutte film. And if you're going to project him forward, you need sort of athletic traits to hang your hat on. He's small and he did not test like a good athlete. I'm totally with you on being out on Kayshon Boutte. My guy that I got to shoot some strays at is Jalin Hyatt of Tennessee.
Surprise.
I got to shoot some more strays over there. There, you know, in the industry, you look around, a lot of top five lists, they have Jalin Hyatt. There's some people that even have Jalin Hyatt as the number one wide receiver in this entire class. I do not get it. I don't understand. Prior to Cedric Tillman's injury this past season, Jalin Hyatt was just a tertiary option on a very powerful offense that has one of the elite offensive play callers in Josh Heupel that has been in the sport of the last like 20 years. They weren't using Hyatt very much prior to that, but then all of a sudden Tillman gets hurt, and then Hyatt ends up racking up all this production in the following games against Alabama when he was matched up against DeMarco Helms in the slot. DeMarco Helms is one of the worst coverage safeties in this class. He can play in the box and stuff like that and fit against the run. Awful in coverage. And so Heupel was able to get Hyatt isolated against Helms the whole game. And so he was just running by him over and over and over again. The only other games where Hyatt went off this year, Tennessee, Martin, Akron, Missouri, Kentucky. Take a look. folks. That's what it is. It was those five games. Prior to this past season, he didn't do anything. And again, during that stretch, that was when Cedric Tillman, in my opinion, I think Ray's opinion too, the better player and the better prospect going forward. He was off the field because of his injury. Jalin Hyatt also, he's this one-trick pony. Not only is he a one-year wonder, he is a one-trick pony. His trick is speed. He goes to the combine. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to blow the roof off the combine, yada, yada. He had a 4.3 prop line, 4.3 flat. He goes into the combine, runs a 4.4 flat. So he's a full tenth of a second above his speed prop line. That's important in a situation where this guy, that's what's supposed to be what his trick is. The other thing I would say, so much of that downfield utility, I think, was schemed for him. I don't think that. It's Josh Heupel. People need to understand how good Josh Heupel is at his job. If you look at like the ink blot of receivers that have come into the NFL over the last 10 years, and you look at the amount of times where they were in man coverage, the yards they got against man coverage, and then the contested targets that they had in those situations, Jalin Hyatt is at the very bottom, like left quadrant, because he had this past season, zero contested catches in man coverage. And yet he had all these yards he was piling up down the field. So it becomes, is Josh Heupel really good at scheming people open? Or is Jalin Hyatt the most explosive downfield receiver to come out of college football in the last 20 years? I think we all know the answer to that question. I will have Jalin Hyatt way down in my rankings. I think he's a fool's gold type of prospect. Ray, this has been so fun. We are out of time today. Unfortunately, I could absolutely talk about this stuff
Same.
With you all day long. Unfortunately, we got to pull the plug. For Ray Garvin, I am Thorne Eichstrom. Thank you for being with us. And tune in next week as I'm joined by another special guest for a deep dive into the tight end class.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.